We will not be held responsible for any hearing impairments or damage caused to you from excessive exposure to this sound.
He is mad. He is crazy. Some say he never had any marbles at birth. Or maybe he's onto something. It's the Queery Cast with Larry Queery Rye. It's not fearless, just real talk. And now, here's your host.
Hi, hi, hello, and hey, and welcome to this week's episode of the Queery Cast. Did I just roll my tongue there? Did my tongue just go weird on the first episode after I turned 40? Yes, I turned 40 on the 3rd of March. So yeah, no longer one of the cool kids anymore. I'm one of the other kids. I don't know what the other kids are, but apparently there's other kids that are not cool. So I'm one of those. And I don't know what those guys do. I mean, nothing's really changed, really, except I think there was a day in which there was a lot of gin and a lot of wine and stuff. And you kind of like feel like, yeah, I can do this. And you don't feel bad about it. So anyway, over the next couple of episodes, I probably will just share bits of what's happened since I think I you just kind of sort of like think maybe something's changed. You want to believe something has changed. So anyway, coming up in the second segment, we're going to give you an update on vaccines. One thing that happened, I'll tell you what happened with me around that. And in the final segment, I will tell you one simple thing you need to do if you're going through a breakup right now. It's just one instruction, one big thing you need to do if you're going through a breakup right now. But let's go through some of the major news stories. One, the big one, the vice president of the country, Kemba Mohadi, resigned from his position. But he went out swinging. Okay, so an inappropriate way to say it. He went out swinging. Pun intended. Now, if you don't know the backstory behind him, it's because of allegedly inappropriate relationships. Now, the thing is, I don't know what may or may not have happened, really, because, you know... I know they're recordings, but I don't know if they're him. I don't know if they aren't him. So at this moment, it's allegations. Zim Life, who published these recordings, say that they are pretty sure it's him, and they have their reasons why, but they haven't published why they're 100% sure that it's him. But I have no reason to doubt them. But he comes out and he's saying that, you know, you guys are a bunch of liars. It's not me. But he's speaking about the whole thing is kind of weird. This is why one of the big reasons why Communications 101 is so important. Because first of all, he says, well, they cloned my voice. And then he says, well, why are you invading my privacy? And I'm just kind of like, dude, choose one story and stick to it. And I don't know what his story is. As far as the relationships are concerned, I don't know enough about them. I just know it's just a scandal, and I think he had no choice because politically it was just going to be weird. If he had stayed, I think then it would resulted in more leaks, perhaps, and just you're just going to have a bunch of leaks happening every week. The vice president has got to, you know. Almost like he's dropping mixtapes every week, except he's not dropping them, it's just leak tapes. Yeah, no. So it's going to be weird. So it would have been, I think, for their political party, they probably had to go that way and kind of like, no, you know what, let's keep this. And as far as his own, do I think he should have resigned if it wasn't that many tapes coming out? I think there were three of them. I don't know. See, the thing is, I'm one of those people that wants the full story. I'm not reactionary when I get the little bit. Like, for example, the Meghan Markle and Harry story, just because she's come out and she say there was racist things that happened to her with the royal family, I'm not necessarily believing it. I'm not saying I don't believe her. I'm not going to go the Piers Morgan way and say, you know what, I don't believe her. Look, you might have reasons. You might know more things than I do. And I say it, as I say it on my Twitter, I want to know what he'd say, why he believes that. Because reality of the situation, just because somebody said that they were so upset that they got into some mental state. It doesn't mean you believe them. I'm not asking them to give me evidence of it, but I can understand when someone says, I don't believe it. And I think people should have the right to say they don't believe someone. I know we're going into this collectivization of how we're all supposed to react to things, but it then meanders into a space where one day, if somebody comes in and claims something happened to them, and we all have to collectively believe it, or maybe the manipulator situation. I'm not saying in any way that Meghan Markle has done this in this particular situation. Like I said, I don't know enough about her. I wouldn't know from bar of soap, and to be perfectly honest, I wouldn't care less what happened to her. So the reality of the situation is the where we find ourselves is now where, I don't know, this celebrity virtue signaling, as I call it, where everybody is so desperate to tell us, the whole world, how tough their life is. And I don't know, at this point, you know, one of the points that I thought was just so ridiculous, when they're like, oh goodness, we were kind of homeless and Tyler Perry came in and sorted us out. I'm like, dude, you're worth £30 million. How are you homeless? How do you not have security? It creates a false equivalence, like as if they were in Epworth and the house had been raised by somebody and they had nowhere to sleep. It's just kind of ridiculous, because it creates this weird false equivalence of suffering. And for me, that's sickening, really. It's horrible. I mean, look, if something's happened to her, I feel sorry for an individual level, and that's about it. But like I said, in the grand scheme of things, this is just another story, and this is just some more celebrity hobnobbing and expecting us all to care about it. And then when we say, dude, we think you're full of shit for some reason or the other, and this is not to say in this particular situation that's what I'm saying, but when celebrities come in and tell us all of the things that are happening in their lives, and then we react, they're like, how dare you? And I'm just kind of like, yeah, but you put it out there. Until you put it out there, we didn't care. Okay, and just for the record, I'm not like super royal family fan. I don't care what happens to them. I'm not a citizen of their country. That's their problems. I'm just out here living my best life here, and you know, it's up to the British people to decide what they think about their royal family. I have no horse in that race. What else has happened this week? Sad, did you see about that? Anne Nera from Studio 263. I think it's one of the reasons why I haven't moved to Johannesburg yet. It's because of the crime rates. Now, she was effectively murdered in this instance, because she was injured. She was injured. She received fatal injuries that became fatal a couple of days later during a robbery at home in Bedford View. And yeah, that's where she was staying. One of the most affluent areas. So someone would be like, you know, I'll be staying in a very affluent area, and so there's no the crime is lower there. But yeah, she was huge on Studio 263. One of the first soaps to come out of Zimbabwe. So she's moved to South Africa, and now she's dead. And it's so sad. It's terribly sad, because she was a wonderful person from when I interacted with her. And also, she was incredibly talented, and only at 38, she's gone. And this is just sad. Also, some news, Zimbabwe cricket has been playing cricket. First, they won their first test inside 2 days, which is pretty huge. And then the second test is getting a bit more hectic. But in the other good news, women's cricket has already started in Zimbabwe. So the Zimbabwe women's cricket team is playing at the moment. And I'm always excited when they get to play some cricket after all the crazy things that have happened to the women's team, and not getting to tournaments and so forth, not getting enough play time because it was COVID, when a year that they were going to have a lot of play time and stuff like that. Finally, did you hear the news that a vegan diet could be linked to poor bone health? And this is after they tested 72 people or something like that. Was it 72 or 172? I wrote it down somewhere and just can't find my notes. So anyway, they found that vegan diets, people who were on strict vegan diets, were likely to have poorer bone health because of certain things that they don't get from meat that are actually good for their bones. So I don't know. I know a couple of people, when I put that article out, This week you're like, oh, that's a lie. They just hate veganism. And, you know, they just want to kill all the animals. Like, oh, seriously? I don't think anyone wants to kill all the animals. I mean, there might be some weird guy out there who wants to kill all the animals. But I don't think any normal person wants to kill all the animals out there. Maybe not all of them. But, I mean, the other side of that, look, if you want to live your vegan life, please go ahead. But don't come and just be trying to make us feel bad about enjoying chicken, really. But, I mean, because really, in the wildlife, are we going to start telling lions they shouldn't eat meat? I don't know. I'm sure there's a vegan listening to this and saying, ah, look at these. I don't know what they're called, toxic, whatever they call us, whatever it is. I don't know. Is Larry listening to the Criticast?
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19.
Furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters and this podcast.
We appreciate your time. Tell your friends and family about us.
It is indeed the Criticast that you're still listening to. The name is Larry, and big news, I went and got my vaccine, well, the first one, on the 28th, which is like 4 days before my birthday. And then the second one is going to be on the 28th again, and everybody's like, oh my goodness, you need to stay away from us because, you know, you might have something bomb the virus and you're gonna infect us and you're gonna die. We're gonna die. And I'm kind of thinking like, whoa, I went and got the thing that stops you from infecting people and that you're gonna die. I mean, the studies around vaccines have also already shown that once you get a shot, your chances of infecting other people is lowered significantly. I got the Sinopharm one, so I got people like really creeping out and saying, oh, don't touch me, I shouldn't be touching people in the first place, but but I mean, it's kind of one of those situations where people are acting like you know you got epilepsy, or you know, They caught you masturbating, and now they're like, don't touch me with the hand that you're masturbating, don't shake hands with it. But there's another thing, though, I always ask, like, why is it that, you know, we never ask if you come across somebody, like you visit them at their house, this is normal times, and you shake their hand, and you always assume that they washed their hands after masturbating. They could have been masturbating the afternoon when you met them. Worse even, what about those business meetings you go to and somebody was watching porn in their office, and then you go get into their office when their secretaries said you can come in, and you know, next thing you'd ever know. I mean, like, hygiene standards are kind of weird. You get to see them in the club where men go to the bathroom and don't wash their hands. Very common. And so I'm just wondering now, I don't even know how we meandered into that. But anyway, one thing that I want that is pretty clear that's happening right now, getting back to the COVID-19 situation, the Bahrain Grand Prix sent out their call to say, we're selling tickets now. And one of the requirements was, first, you've got to have been recovered from COVID-19. So you can't even be one of those people who's just free, or you got to have been vaccinated. So we're getting to that space very quickly in a very accelerated way. When you're not going to be able to access certain spaces because you're not vaccinated. And I know in Zimbabwe, some people are resisting it. If you look at the uptake right now from the health workers with the first phase, it's not as great as you want it to be. But if you really look at it, there's going to be a point when you won't be able to travel because the rest of the world, the global north, is going through mass vaccination. In the United Kingdom, they're vaccinated like crazy. And so in the United States. So a lot of people in those countries will be able to travel and you won't. And we're going to find an excuse later in life where we're going to think it's all going to be about racism and so forth. But when there was the opportunity to be vaccinated, some of us may have decided not to. And a lot of those opportunities that exist in other countries and not in Zimbabwe might not be available to you if you don't vaccinate. Now, look, after all, at the end of the day, it's a personal choice. And I respect people's rights to personal choice, But if we have very few vaccinating, that means we're going to keep having these cycles of people getting infected and reinfected. Like I said a couple of weeks ago, the science is that if you get COVID-19, your antibodies only last for 5 months. So you could end up getting COVID-19 twice a year, two times a year. So it's no longer really just about whether you'd like the vaccine or not, but also just down to the fact that, you know, it's basic common sense. If we, as many of us as possible are vaccinated, then our chances of making sure that we're not infecting our parents and our grandparents and our friends with comorbidities and so forth is if we all, you know, as a duty, get vaccinated. And it's strange, really. It's Larry. Listen to the Criticast.
Wash your hands, avoid sick people, and touching your face. There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. Brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Yes, it is the Criticast with Larry. And just before I go and get into the relationship segment, I think one thing that people would want to know is that were there any side effects? For the whole, I don't think I had any side effects. I think at the same time, I had a bit of a sniffle and was very tired from work and so forth. But there's a possibility that I felt tiredness based on that. But this is the sort of thing that just sort of lasted a few days and was gone. The reality of the situation is it largely uneventful for me. And now the other side of it all is that when they ask, when you go there, they're going to ask you if you have any conditions. So if you suspect, for example, you might be developing diabetes, go and get yourself tested first for it, so that when you go there and you tell them that you got diabetes or something or whatever the case, then they'll be able to take the, you know, the necessary action so that you don't have an adverse reaction. So yeah, just make sure you get that sort of information sorted out for yourself. I know a lot of us don't go and get ourselves checked for conditions because you're scared to find out that you got BP and that sort of thing. But yeah, just do it before you go and get yourself vaccinated, and so that you're able to make sure that whatever they need to do, because they're the experts, whatever they need to do, they do it with you. It's Larry, listening to the Criticast, and coming up is the relationship segment.
Strap yourself in, because we're set up, switched on, and ready to go.
Available on all platforms.
It's the final segment of the Criticast. The name is Larry, and yes, it's always about relationships. And I say this one rule we're going to talk about when you're going through a breakup, and this is the time of the post COVID-19 situation. So there was a lockdown, and then people get into relationships, or they start talking to people, or they maybe sometimes even date somebody who's close by, and suddenly COVID-19 ends and it fizzles out, and yeah, you guys realize that, you know, well, maybe you've got more options out there, or your usual option is now closer. So you didn't have a paper to be able to go and see them in Rua or in Norton or whatever the case may be, or even just going to the next neighborhood, unless you're breaking the law, you know, in some crazy way. So now you're in a situation where, okay, this is done. And it's a breakup, it's a real breakup, because of the way emotions, and you actually dated, probably even had sex and stuff like that. And now it's tricky, it's sticky. You're like, what do we do? And I'm going to give you one rule. Normally people give you a whole bunch of them, and I've done that a lot. But one of the biggest, most important rule is going to be called the no contact rule. Okay? It's a rule where you don't call, text, message, an ex, or in any way, after a breakup. So you're not even getting in touch with them on social media. If anything, unfriend them. Just go cold. Just stop talking to them. And you know, you don't even talk to their friends, their family. And if you sometimes if you can't really avoid it, maybe if you talk to a friend in common, you don't talk about them. Okay, you don't talk about the breakup itself. That doesn't come up. So you just sort of like deciding that you're going to create distance between yourself and that. Now, the effectiveness of the no contact rule, I beg your pardon, it means that you get to understand your grief and your wounds. You know what? You're not You're not sitting with holes and forgetting that you got holes that now exist. This person that was there, that you were in a relationship with, and suddenly they're not. You're realizing and having to deal with the fact that there's this chasm that they used to fill that you need to fill with other activities. Because more often than not, when we decide to continue the conversation with the other person, it's under the guise sometimes where we think that by talking to them, you know, something can be salvaged. And also in some instances, by talking to them, you sort of think yourself, maybe I can make a better situation of this. And then there's the worst one where you sort of think maybe you can make a friendship out of it. Yet you understand that unless it's a specific type of relationship, then it just doesn't work. Unless, of course, like I said, if you had transcended to the position where you both agree that you can have a friendship, then that's fine. But if there's no agreement that a friendship can happen, then you want to go in and just, you know, not do that. I mean, in effect, even when you agree that a friendship can happen, there must be that period in which you recalibrate yourself. You kind of begin to re-understand yourself without the context of this person that had been important to your life. So what you want to do is like properly feel the pain, deal with the situation around it. And like I said, it's easy to trick yourself sometimes in your moment of weakness that by doing something specific, like talking to them, you can get them back, or, you know, you can salvage something, as I said. But in reality, you want to then know how to live without their presence in your life. And therefore you begin to find other activities, as I said, to replace them with, and finding other friendships and other relationships. You can take your grief and transform it into something else. You know, sometimes even messaging them can become a distraction. That endorphins that happen in your brain, where if they message back, you get all excited, like, you know, once you don't feel like the situation is as bad as you think it is. Another thing, you know, sometimes if you feel like, you know, they're messaging you a bit too much and you're worried that you might fall into the trap of, you know, talking to them, maybe you need to learn how to be brave enough to block them and, you know, on their number, their Snapchat, Instagram, and so forth. It might be difficult if it was a really deep relationship, if they're mothers, fathers, second cousins, rich uncles, as they call them, you know, whatever the case. It might be difficult, but you might need to go through that. I know in some instances, for example, I'm one to talk. I've got exes whose parents I'm still cool with. So it's kind of one of those situations where you and the mother are still cool, and sometimes they ask, so I don't know what happened between you and so, and they think like the breakup was her fault. And sometimes you're like, no, actually, I was the dick in this situation. I was the one who messed up the situation, you know. But getting back to that, I sometimes break my own rule in as far as that is concerned. But what I certainly don't do is keep communication with it, with pretty much any ex that I've been in a relationship with. Another danger of not having an ex continue conversation that you want to avoid is falling into that situation where you're friends with benefits type of situation. So, you know, there's always the argument that exes, you can always get sex from your ex, really. So in most cases, that can turn out to be true. So if you've gone, deleted their numbers, blocked them, and so forth, the chances of keeping those feelings alive and so forth are minimized. But like I say, the more important thing is to be able to get to a place that when you contact them, or if you come in contact with them one day, you have replaced them you replace the holes that they left in your life. So when you see them, they're just another person. You can be civil with them, and you're not trying to avoid them or anything like that. And sometimes the no contact rule can be a limited period. You could decide, you know what, I can handle 3 months of not talking to this person, or a month of not talking to this person until I've healed. Sometimes you want to permanently cut them off, but sometimes maybe it's not possible to permanently cut them off because you live in a small community, and maybe you need to talk to them about certain things at some further point in your life. But do it for as long as it takes. Do it for as long as it takes to as to find your healthy place, and so as to avoid the temptations of getting to a point where, as I said, you're talking to your ex again and the hurt is coming back. And the other thing before I finish off on this, I know that it can be painful to do it. I think it can feel more painful than the breakup itself. So think of it as quitting a drug. People find it difficult to quit a drug because it's that part of themselves that they've become to rely on. So when you decide that you're going to cut off a person, a lot of the times you rationalize by saying this person's actually not a bad person, you know, and that they and for the most part of the relationship, they're probably very kind. That's why you were in a relationship with them. But, you know, what you got to do is find a way to be happy on your own, because you were happy before you saw them. You got to get back to that space of being happy again on your own. And the person you're going to be happy with yourself is not necessarily the same person that was happy before the relationship happened. So expect yourself to start finding out that you like things that you didn't know you liked, or, you know, you're being defined by new interests and stuff like that. And that's important. So yeah, I know it's going to be painful, and you're going to have days in which you want to just unblock them and have a conversation with them. And if you fall into that trap on one day or so, don't kick yourself over it. Just try and get off kick yourself up, strap yourself up, and you know what, get back on the horse and get back to ignoring again. Yeah, and that's that for this week's episode of the Criticast. Don't do the no contact rule with me, please. Let's keep talking on Twitter at Quirirai, Kwirirai. On Instagram, Larry Quirirai. On TikTok, Larry Quirirai. And Facebook, just look for Quirirai, /Quirirai. What other platform? LinkedIn. Yes, I'm on there. What else? If you want to listen to the Criticast, just go to criticast.co.zw. It's available on all sorts of platforms. It's on Spotify. It's on, and Spotify is in Zimbabwe, by the way. So, hey, kudos. Lovely stuff. So Spotify, it's on Google Podcasts, it's on Podchaser, a whole bunch of platforms. So you just subscribe there. And after subscribing, you can then make sure that every time there's a new episode that comes in, you can be part of the conversation. And remember that the Criticast is brought to you published. Look at me being silly. It is published by Three Men on a Boat. And that's it for this week's episode. Take care of yourself and the people that you love. And as I say, from where I come from, Asibi Siasebenza. It's been Larry. It's been the Criticast. Take care of yourself.
Loved what you've heard on this week's episode? Well, the answer is simple. It would mean the world to us if you could head over to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review and feedback. Spreading the word really is the best way to grow our podcast and achieve even greater things. Thank you. Thank you.